The Holy Gospel according to St. John from the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Two weeks ago, I was in Charlotte, North Carolina, for a gathering of Christian and Jewish and Muslim religious leaders from around the United States. And it was a great opportunity to, again, remember and celebrate the diversity that exists in our three religious traditions, and also the common ground that we have, that we discover and affirm when we come together in peace like that. And one of my favorite speakers at this particular gathering was an imam by the name of Abdullah Antepli, who is Duke University's first ever Muslim chaplain for students there. And in his comments about the diversity that was represented in our gathering there, Abdullah quoted two portions of the Quran that speak about God's intentions, speak to Muslims about what God intends in this. In the first quotation that he chose, God says, "I created diversity in the human family so that you will get to know each other." And then in the second quotation he chose, God goes on to say, "I made you different so that you would compete with one another to do my will, to do my work in the world." In other words, as Muslims understand that, God's intention is not that we just learn to get along with each other necessarily, or tolerate each other, or dialogue with each other, but that we get to know each other and that we do God's work in the world. It reminds me of the instructions that the angel gave to Philip in that first story that we heard today from the book of Acts. Philip was a Jewish disciple of Jesus who at this point in time had every reason to fear and mistrust others. We just learned in the story that's told in the book of Acts that Philip's friend Stephen has been stoned to death for publicly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we've just learned that there is a man named Saul who is going from house to house in that community of early Christians and pulling out men and women and sending them off to jail. It was hard to know who you could trust, even in your own ethnic and religious group. To the south of Philip that day, there was a road to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Gaza. And on that road, there was a person of completely different ethnic, religious, and national origins than Philip. He was male, but his sexual identity was also very different from that of Philip. And given the distance between those two, both geographically and in every other way, it's hard to imagine that they would have ever come together and met each other. But then God comes to Philip and says to him, "Go south, down to that road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza." Philip obeyed. And when he got there, he saw the chariot that was transporting this distinctly different person. The man wasn't a Jew, from Philip's homeland, but a Gentile from North Africa. He wasn't a peasant, mostly uneducated like Philip, but a person from the high court of the queen, a person in charge of the whole treasury. He wasn't a circumcised child of Abraham. He was a castrated male who was not even allowed to come into the temple when he arrived at Jerusalem. It's hard to paint a more vivid picture of diversity than these two that day. But then God spoke to Philip again, saying, "Go over to that chariot and join it." Whenever I hear that word from God, and when I think about it in the context from today, I come back always to the question of, what does this mean for us as we hear it now? What does it mean for us today also to hear this kind of God who addresses us saying, go over to that person or that group of people who is so different. Go be with that person of another race, another nationality, another religion, another sexual identity, another social class. Go to that chariot and join it. I think about what that means for us too as Christians when we discern what is our calling to be disciples of Christ in the world, to be bearers of Jesus Christ, to go and to be with others, and at the same time as Philip did, to share the story that we have of Christ. In our daily life, our instinct and our fears usually lead us to keep our distance from people who are different. And when that happens, we don't get to know each other. And when we don't know each other, we develop all kinds of stereotypes and impressions of others that in so many ways distort reality. In the case of racial differences, examples of that seem to be coming almost every week now from different parts of our country, most recently in the streets of Baltimore. But we know that that one city is not some anomaly. It's not something different, so different from other cities and other parts of the country. Racial tension exists all across our country, and it thrives wherever people don't know each other, and where we don't compete to do God's will together. And the same can be said about our interactions with people of other faith. Most Americans have never had any personal relationship or even an encounter with a Muslim. And so we let a few radical people, a tiny minority of brutal people, define for us who a large portion of the world's population are. In the United States, over 95% of people say that they believe and support religious freedom, but barely a third say they would be okay with a Muslim as a neighbor, and especially if you talk about having a worshiping community in any way in your neighborhood. We don't know each other, and because of that, all kinds of things fill that space between us. Another one of the speakers that I greatly enjoyed at the conference I was at was a Jewish New Testament scholar named Amy Jill Levine. And her presentations not only made it clear that we so often misunderstand and misrepresent first century Jews when we read the Bible, but it was very clear from her presentations how much we as Gentiles fail to appreciate the diversity that exists in modern-day Judaism and to understand who our neighbors are today. Someone asked her what some of the stereotypes of Christians that Jews have, and she was quick to respond with many, saying that many people would say, well, all Christians think we're going to hell, don't they? But then God says to every one of us, go over to that chariot and join it. Go over to that person or that group of people and get to know them. Learn who they are. Listen to their story, to their questions. welcome that, discern their needs, celebrate their distinctiveness, and then let them do the same with you. When I continue reading that story in the book of Acts, I love the way that God opens the hearts and the minds of those two men in the story once they are together. In fact, if I were to speak for hours today about a strategy for building relationships and sharing faith with each other, I couldn't come up with anything that compares with what this story shows us in just a few verses. It starts with both of these men expressing an eagerness to learn. They want to learn and discover, not just something for themselves, but about someone else and someone else's tradition. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip comes and says first. And then the Ethiopian responds with a series of questions which reveal a kind of humility that's always so appealing to me. How can I, he says, unless someone guides me? And after listening with an open heart, he inquires, about whom, may I ask, does this prophet speak? And then, in the best question of all, he says, what is to prevent me from being baptized? If Philip were not open-minded and generous with the gifts that God had entrusted to him, he could have come up with all kinds of reasons right there why that person was not ready to be baptized or should not be under those circumstances. But instead, he just casts all of that aside. And within moments, the two of them are standing in the water together, the water of God's love and grace. When I look for examples of this in our lives today, I think of all kinds of relationships that have come into being because God has said to us, go and join that chariot. Just 2 days ago, I sat in our parish commons at a table with Ramon Contreras, who drove all the way here from Mexico to be with us, to sit at a table with us, and then to share with us stories of how relationships are changing lives, how the encounter that we are having with people in Mexico is transforming our way of seeing one another on both sides of the border. And then I watched as his eyes teared up while he listened to people from this congregation share testimonies of how they have come to love and appreciate people in Mexico by going to be with them there, by joining them in that place. And at the table beside us, there were members of St. Mark's sitting along with guests who were spending the night here at St. Mark's through our connection with the Family Housing Network. And as a little 3-month-old child was passed around from one set of loving arms to another, I felt like I was seeing the work of God in our midst. When we first said we wanted to learn about the crisis of housing insecurity in our county, God said, go to that chariot and join it. And today, we can clearly see that the experience of getting to know each other has been a transforming one for so many of us. In the end, little stories like that are just a living reminder of God's big story in Jesus. What Philip shared with that person from Ethiopia was the story of a God who comes to join us in Jesus Christ, a God who comes to join us in the journey that we are making. A story of God who comes to know us for who we are. And a God in Jesus who says to us, this is who I am. Get to know me through Christ. Others may not hear the story in the same way that we do, but we follow Christ's lead whenever we join them, when we go to be with them, when we get to know them, and when we compete with them to do God's will and God's work in the world. Where anyone lands in their journey of faith is not ours to control. Philip and the Ethiopian were moved greatly by the work of the Spirit, just in that one little story. But we tell the story of Jesus Christ, to each other and to all the world. And we baptize everyone who comes asking for that free gift of God's grace, because these are the greatest treasures that we have to share. They're like that beautiful little child being passed around from one set of loving arms to another. When I watched the father of that child express so much joy in his face, seeing these new relationships that were coming into being around the table, I thought that I was also catching a glimpse of God's joy, what God experiences whenever Jesus is received and treasured in that same way. For that and for all the promises we hear today, thanks be to God. Amen.